And we're back on the Rule of Three. Two comics, three topics, 10 minutes each. The perfect podcast for your modern lifestyle. Later in the show, we're going to be talking about what Bent did over this weekend. And we're also going to be talking about the healthiest states. Where are you? Where do you rank? Are you healthy? Are you not? But the first topic, the one that we could not just could not miss, is the story of the incompetent terrorist.
Yes, right. A good story. It's a feel-good story, I think.
Yeah. You know, it's rare that there's a terrorist attack that you can make fun of.
No kidding.
Yesterday we had one. Is a Bangladeshi man reportedly inspired by ISIS, which would be ISIS, the terrorist group, not ISIS, the singer.
Yeah. Inspired by,
set off a pipe bomb inside New York's Port Authority bus terminal during rush hour Monday. Now, see, that could have been really ugly.
Oh, it could have been horrible.
It could have been sowing mass chaos.
Instead, he ruined his sweater. That's basically what he did. He ruined his sweater. Some people had headaches and ringing in the ears for a bit. That was it.
Interestingly, though, it might have been a Christmas sweater. The bomb was ignited with a Christmas light, matches, and a 9-volt battery, law enforcement officials told the Associated Press.
He kind of opposite the MacGyver. You know, it wasn't very competent there.
Olive Blue claimed he blew up his explosive device because he noticed a holiday picture in the hallway. It was inspired by ISIS-style Christmas threats.
You make me so angry, I am going to scorch my stomach. That's what I'm going to do.
I don't like the fact. I don't like the fact that they gave the details right there.
Yeah, it's true
that they actually said Christmas light, matches, 9-volt battery. Because if I were a kid, that's right now. Hey, Mom, you need these Christmas lights for anything?
Battery, 9-volt battery, Christmas lights. Yeah, I bet there's a lot
of
Google.
All I need is matches. That's all I need now is matches. Where do you get matches? Where do you get matches in 2017? There are no matches.
Oh,
nobody uses it.
We have
them.
Do you? Oh, yeah, I like matches. As opposed to, there's something about that, the sound and the,
Oh, really?
Every night.
Stick.
Yeah. You bet.
I know that we used to use match heads. That used to be
to make a bomb about as good as his, probably. We did, too.
Yep. Probably. Yeah. That's probably exactly what he did. You know, the interesting thing, I've often thought that a lot of the things I did in my childhood would probably warrant a federal investigation nowadays. An M80 in a mailbox is now considered destruction of federal property.
It was back when I was a kid. Yeah, because if you put an M80 in a mailbox, you got in big trouble, man. No? Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that's been a law for a long time.
Well, I know, but I didn't know that actually was it actually prosecuted, or were you just warned by your elders that would be prosecuted?
You know, I don't know. I do know there was one kid in the neighborhood that got in trouble for putting M80s or cherry bombs in mailboxes. He got in big trouble.
He got visited by Agent Cooper. The guys with the overcoats and ties came to talk to your buddy.
I think the sheriff probably just came and talked to him.
Okay.
Just the Roscoe P. Coltrane of Mapleton, Utah. He came over there and sat him down with his parents and talked to him.
You might think this was a funny joke there, Buster.
He was bound for trouble. He was going the wrong direction. Not only did he do that, he was a Muhammad Ali fan, which in Mapleton, Utah, in the 60s or 70s, was you couldn't root for that guy, you know, because it was so conservative. Anyway, we're on to a tangent.
Well, no, I'm wondering what ISIS-inspired Christmas threats are, you know?
I think any of them.
I actually imagine a little bit of Christmas music in the background. Probably one of the more annoying Christmas
Carol
songs.
Carol of the Bells. Carol of the Bells.
That's yours?
Yeah, that's the one that gets me. That's a bad one.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer has long since lost its amusement factor for me.
Yeah, me too.
that one's kind of hook
some matches up to your belly and ruin your sweater.
Exactly. Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
Hello,
ISIS followers. Are you as mad about Christmas as we are?
Yeah. Well, they try to understand these guys, and I think they're crazy. There's part of that in there. Some of these guys are just mentally ill.
I think it was my good friend Chris Baker who once radio guy from I knew from Minneapolis, since moved on to bigger things. He said that the problem is that they don't treat women with respect. Because he said, when you subjugate women, there's no one telling you to stop doing those stupid things.
Yeah, yeah. There was a great Mark Maron bit about that. Like, it never would have happened. We're going to go to... No, you're not. We have company coming over. You can go and get some ice cream. We need some ice cream. You can do that. You be back here, but yeah. Mark Maron nailed it too.
Exactly. And then and then another friend of mine who I can't remember also said that it has to do... that it isn't just subjugated women, is that the wealthy, more established guys monopolize all the women because they're polygamists.
Absolutely, that's a problem.
So every extra wife that someone takes that leaves one guy when you figure it's one to one, it leaves one guy without a girl.
Absolutely, it's a horrible system. Having grown up Mormon, man. Look at me. I used to talk about that on stage. How, looking what I look like with my income level, I would never have had a woman. And I said,
right.
I would have been like that gimpy buck with one antler on the edge of the meadow, just looking in at the does, kind of, oh, what I wouldn't do to you. It's just sad.
Right. So, for those people, the promise of 72 virgins. Is the only way out.
It's very alluring. Yeah, polygamy is a problem now. It's a big problem to do that. It's a horrible problem. The rich and powerful get everything? Come on. Yeah.
Well, they still do.
Yeah.
they still do. It's just equalized. It's just equalized a little bit. Monogamy was probably the first form of equalization.
Yeah,
I'm not sure when monogamy was
apparently it still isn't a thing to some people, but yeah. When did it kick in?
Well, I don't think you see that's the thing. I don't think it's natural to the species.
No.
I think the species is probably more because when you look at species that are truly monogamous, they are truly monogamous. If you kill their mate, that's it. They never have another one.
That's
monogamous species. They can't not do it. But I don't think that the hairless monkeys. The hairless monkeys, given an opportunity, will often stray. It's the strictures of society that keep humans monogamous.
But there must be some natural underpinnings there. Otherwise, it wouldn't be so prevalent. There has to be some impulses. Maybe there's a pull, a push and pull.
Well, most people I know, it's monogamy for me, but not for you. Monogamy for you, not for me.
Yeah.
Is that I am going to stray, but I expect you to be here when I get home.
Yeah.
That's the way most of us hairless monkies think.
Just
Did I say that? I say that? Holy cow! No. Most of them, those monkeys, those hairless monkeys.
Yeah, or don't think. Rather, don't think. Just like, hey, this will be fun. We can get away with it. I've often thought, before when divorce was less common, how women would die young during childbirth when there wasn't divorce around. If the numbers probably pay out the same, about half of those men at that funeral weren't really sad, They were like, "Oh, I get a second one. I get a new one." It's a clean slate.
Well, I think, yes, and I think that's transferred into humanity through car shopping.
What?
I think the desire to have a fresh model every couple of years, it's reflected in some people's desire to go car shopping.
Or to start over, a new one, to do the blast off the blast off phase of love again, I guess. Never goes away, sadly.
and we are grateful that there were only a few headaches and a few ringing of the ears.
That's it.
That the only one severely injured was the guy who wanted to injure.
Yep.
And we're at the 10-minute mark. Mm-hmm. Hey, we're back on the Rule of Three. What Bent did last weekend? Well, that's going to be a surprise we're going to have to save for the final segment. This segment, Bent was perusing the news.
Yes.
And came across an interesting article. That I never really liked these articles. What happens is that it's a great vehicle for writers who don't have anything else to do. They create lists. They like to create lists of what's the happiest people, the saddest people.
Yeah.
I've seen the drunkest people and then run the states, the greatest party colleges. I mean, they love these. The news is full of this. And this one was the healthiest states.
That's right.
Ranked 1 through 50. So, of course, you know, depending on how you read it, it could also be the unhealthiest states if you read it up. And this somewhat fascinated Bent.
Yeah, it does. I don't know. I was drawn in to the list of the sickest. I guess I'm an optimist, so I went from the sickest states.
You read it from the bottom up.
Yes, I did. That's what I was interested in. Where are they dying fast? I just wanted to know if I was in that area. That's all.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not.
A more optimistic person might read it up to say, if I wanted to open an antique store, where would the best estate sales be?
I guess that is one way to optimistically look at it. I was just looking at more of the sense: am I going to die sooner, or am I? I'm afraid of death, I guess, and sickness.
And the least healthiest state is
Mississippi, number 50. I think it is usually. It goes Mississippi 50, then Louisiana 49, Arkansas 48, Alabama 47, West Virginia 46. So just north of me. If I just drive a few miles, if we resettled there, West Virginia.
So that there's like a little Gulf cluster there.
There really is. It's except for West Virginia. It's kind of up near coal mining country. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. There's lots of different factors.
I'm sure it does.
Yeah.
I mean, there's two things that make West Virginia West Virginia. Is number one is of course the coal mining. It's the predominant industry in the state, in the region.
Yeah.
And number two is that
poverty.
The poverty and the corruption that people who they get out of there.
Yeah. Yeah.
people that want a better life leave.
Yeah. I think that the people who can survive the journey go somewhere else. I think there's some truth to that because West Virginia is beautiful. I've been through there and it's gorgeous.
If you're smart enough to be able to hitch up a U-Haul to your car, it's not quite surviving the journey what it used to be. Now you just have to know how to hitch up a U-Haul without running yourself over.
Yeah. Another interesting thing that when I was reading more of the details in the article, it's not we parse this up by state, but within state you have wild variations. Like you just go a few blocks from one neighborhood to another in Washington, and 9-year difference in life expectancy. 9 years, just
over a couple blocks.
Yeah, you go a few blocks over into a different neighborhood. 9-year, and of course there's income levels and all sorts of issues that come into play.
Sure, but you know, I would not want to be on one of those blocks.
I wouldn't either. I would want to keep it several miles away. But it's where money lands. I mean, I live in a very, like, Loudoun County, just north of me, is one of the richest. I think it's the second richest county in America.
Wow.
We're in the fifth richest county in America. It might have something to do with all the lobbyist money. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's that extra trillion in tax money.
I don't know that it's just lobbyist money.
That's true.
I think I think insider trading is far more.
Prevalent, you think?
Not prevalent, but it's far more indicative of the wealth of the region. Is that you know, lobbyist is one thing, but there's also, you know,
that usually goes
into your campaign, but you can't give a lobbyist can't write a check to someone.
Yeah, well, that's true. You're right. It's not just lobbyist money. There's contractors. There's lots of contracting wealth here.
Yep.
There's a lot of money. There's a lot of money here,
and almost zero smokestacks.
Yeah, that's another thing.
The only smokestacks come out of wood burning fireplaces.
Yeah, like mine. Yeah, where I use real matches, by the way, every night.
So we know what states to avoid.
Yeah.
What now? On the other hand, if we decided that we wanted to live in one of the healthier states. Or if we decided to read the list from top to bottom as presented,
yes.
What would the top five be?
Number one is Massachusetts. Number two is Hawaii. Number three is Vermont. Number four is Utah, and number five is Connecticut. And Connecticut kind of surprised me.
Utah's number four.
Utah's number four.
Huh.
Which
I would have.
I think that has to do with Mormon culture and probably a little less alcohol.
Yeah, no. I understand that, but I've always thought that there was. I would guess that would be higher.
Oh, even higher than.
I guess Mormon culture works both ways, though.
Yes, it does.
There is the insistence on a healthy lifestyle, but yeah. There is also
the insistence on a healthy lifestyle also. That is also something that makes you, this isn't worth it anymore. I'm very sad and I'm going to go away. I need a drink. Yeah.
So when Mormons fall, they fall hard.
Oh, yeah. Because it's pretty, a lot of pressure. Plus the air quality. Salt Lake City's air quality is horrific. They have an inversion that occurs every winter for several weeks. Horrible air.
See, I was thinking another way. I would also think that as with any strictly fundamentalist faith, that a lot of times those modern things are discouraged, you know, like vaccines and no,
not Utah. No, they kind of embrace a lot of those things, and science a little bit more maybe than some fundamentalist religions. Okay. I don't know if they're all they're not fundamentalists. First of all, it's the polygamous branch of fundamentalists. Like, this is getting into the weeds, but
well, yeah, but I mean that still exists in Utah, correct?
Yeah, but I mean
it's hidden. Okay.
Very small amounts.
Okay,
we should talk about number one and number two. Massachusetts one, Hawaii number two.
Huh. Well, yeah, you know, that's actually interesting because when searching for your article, mm-hmm. I pulled up another list. And uh-huh. This is the U.S. News and World Report did the best states for public health, and this of course being, you know, how much you have to pay when you go to the hospital, mm-hmm. and that's how they decided that health should be ranked, and for them Hawaii is number one.
Okay, so that's a good state then if they're
Yeah, but interestingly, Massachusetts is way down at number five, but number two is New Jersey.
What are they doing there? So Massachusetts, though, didn't fall that far. They're just a five.
No, it didn't fall that far, but I'm curious about New Jersey. Where's New Jersey on your list?
I don't know, because they just gave me one in – it's not in the top five.
Not in the top five and not in the bottom five?
No, I don't see the whole list, though. I don't have the whole list.
Huh.
Oh, wait. New Jersey is 11 to 20, somewhere in there.
Huh. So it's in the second quintile.
Yeah, not too bad. But Massachusetts, yeah, but they said number one because it had some of the – it's the highest insured rate. And, you know, that's the problem with lists. I think you make a list and then you can attach to it all sorts of causes that aren't necessarily, you know –
You know, that's an interesting thing.
That's
an interesting thing because Massachusetts is also was the original Obamacare.
Yeah,
that was based. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting that would only get them up to number five, and even though it's the most insured, and what are they as far as healthiest?
They're number one, right? Huh. Well, huh. One of the things that brought up in the article too that I thought was interesting is that health is a right, which I don't understand. You have a right to health. Well, you also have a right to smoke if you want to, you know, or to overeat, or to eat deep fried butter, sticks of butter, whatever they're eating in certain places, or the right not to exercise. So, health care.
Yeah, that is a.
You know what I mean? Health care. I can see people arguing that, and I've argued with people on that a little. But health is a right. I don't. Yeah.
I would say managing one's health is a right.
Yes.
Is it pursuit of? We could even go into Declaration of Independence language. Pursuit of health.
Pursuit or lack of health
is right. Right. Well, pursuit of pursuit of unhealth or ignorance of health.
If you want to mismanage it, if you want to run your body into the ground to a point, it's kind of, I guess, a right. I guess, unless I have to pay for it, then I start getting a little. That's where it gets tricky. As soon as we start sharing resources on this stuff, then.
And I'm not absolutely sure because I forgot to jot it down, but I think that's 10 minutes.
I think it is, yeah.
Somewhere at this very moment, someone is drowning in the ocean. So take a deep breath and taste the oxygen and take a deep breath. And understand the notion, your heart is still in motion.
And here we are on the final segment of Rule of Three. It's holiday season. People are decorating, and I mentioned that I was doing a little bit of the Christmas preparation myself. And when I mentioned it, Bent. You mentioned that you did something else besides putting up Christmas lights, and I found that incredibly amusing.
I don't know why you think it's so funny. We put up Christmas lights. I did get the Christmas lights up, and then we put the kids in front of the TV, and my wife and I went out on some Pokemon Go raids as a couple. It's something we like to do together. Why are you laughing? So you know what? Do you know how much this podcast is so important to me that right now I am missing an Absol level 3 Pokemon Go raid? It's like two blocks away. I could be there now instead of with my fellow Pokemon Go raiders, all of them old enough to drive. It's weird. When we showed up, my wife and I started doing Pokemon Go because we thought my daughter, my six-year-old daughter, would enjoy it. But it taps into some sort of OCD need to collect.
Huh.
It's weird. It's very strange.
Huh. How's your six-year-old daughter? Was she?
She seemed okay. We were only gone for about an hour.
I didn't mean that. I meant, is she interested in Pokemon Go, or did she already lost her?
She watches the TV show, and she can tell us all about Pokemon. We have no idea of what we're doing. We have the phone. We go and we meet with other weirdos in the middle of nowhere, and then it's hard to explain how sad.
You know what's interesting that you just said that is that she can identify every species of Pokemon.
Yeah.
But probably doesn't know a robin from a sparrow.
Well, yeah, that's true. She doesn't know real animals, but she has a very Well, that's sad.
She knows the difference between a Jigglypuff and a Pikachu.
Totally. She knows the difference. She knows whether they're water or grass types. She knows.
Wow.
She knows all that stuff. She could tell us what we'll do better against. The thing is, you laugh now, but in about 10 years, when she does Pokemon Go, she's going to be all ready to be an excellent trainer. She'll be a great.
Because when Pokemon Go is made an Olympic sport, we're going to have a gold medal in our house, mister.
That's right. Then let's see who's laughing. Mister, I should have bought Bitcoin. Not to bring up your embarrassing stuff. It is embarrassing to be hooked on this. I showed up at one of these raids, and all these adults are sitting there. A lot of them, it's crazy. They don't even shower and stuff. They're all in their pajamas and all that kind of stuff. It's like 11 o'clock, and they're in their pajamas. And the one guy, he was saying to someone else, well, I don't keep anything unless it's at least 90%. And I just looked, are you bragging about this habit? That's what I felt like. It's sick. I hide this like I would an opioid addiction. You don't – this is embarrassing.
You should avoid the raids then, or at least maybe wear a mask.
No, maybe I'll show up dressed like a Pokemon. Show up in a Pikachu outfit. Yeah,
yeah. That would actually be interesting, and see if anyone tries to tackle you.
Throws a ball at me. Yeah. It does
So here's where I was curious when you said that you were doing this.
Yes.
It was about 2 years ago, wasn't it? It was summer before last.
Oh yeah, I'm way late.
Right, but that's what I'm curious is that you say that there's people also that are into it, but they're all like your age now.
Well, I've noticed there's some men in their 20s and 30s. A lot of couples do it in their 20s and 30s. There's lots of that, too. Mm-hmm. It seems to be very popular with Asians, at least where we live.
Huh.
Yeah.
It's mostly moved up to the, you know, like Facebook. When Facebook came out, it was for a way for college kids to hook up.
But it's turned into just like – it's just kind of
old
people, to
people. Old people publishing obituaries.
it's people on the spectrum kind of what you
it's
get
essentially,
there.
It's with Facebook. Facebook is essentially now – it's working on your own obituary.
That's true.
And you're just collecting stuff so that when you pass on, people have a site to go.
They can go and look at your whole life.
Yep.
Well, this is not. I never put this on Facebook. I can't believe it.
No, no, oh no, no. This is probably the first time you admitted it publicly.
It is. Yeah, I've been doing this for about 3 months.
Huh.
Very embarrassing.
Huh. And it's actually now. Do you actually use it as augmented reality? Is that do you use it as that, or do you just use like the map?
We use the map, but then you look at your phone screen. And and you can set it up so that the Pokemon is actually right there. It shows it in the environment around you with your phone camera.
Right. Right. But, now that to me is fascinating because that to me is going to be the future. And the future Pokemon Go players will be wearing goggles. And
future Pokemon Go players. We are in the future already.
No, but I can see it when people wearing goggles because they'll be able to look around and they'll actually be able to see, you know, the environment that they're in. But then they'll actually see Pokemon.
That's much too brazen, I think, for us to walk around with goggles admitting. Well, why don't we just paint our cars into Pokemon characters too, so people will see them all parked in weird church parking lots and stuff.
So do they give you ranking? Do you have any idea where you are, like on a national ranking, a local ranking?
Oh,
do you know?
I just know that I am a level 25 trainer. No, level 26 trainer. That's what I am. I used to be a level 29, but I lost the password. And so right now there's this level 29 trainer wandering around.
So you had to start over?
I had to start over.
You got up to 29, and then wow. So now you're this is the second time through, and you're up to 25.
It was horrible. I lost like four Entes. I don't know how many ultra balls. I lost so much stuff. My trainer with a backpack full of stuff. I probably $10 worth of pokey coins.
Oh, wow.
Spent. Yeah, lures and also.
So you actually have been exchanging cash for pokey coins?
I'm not going to comment. About this.
Well, now I think next time I made fun of for not investing in Bitcoin.
I'm investing in Pokemon Go. It's gonna pay off big. Someday it'll take off. I'll be able to sell my Snorlax. I spawned a Snorlax yesterday, or I hatched a Snorlax yesterday. It was a big day. Called my wife. I just hatched a Snorlax.
You know that actually sounds like code. Sounds like you do something you do in the morning after your first cup of coffee.
Hatched a Snorlax.
See you in a minute, honey. I got to go hatch a Snorlax.
Yeah, 92% Snorlax.
Wow. Now, what's that percent?
It's just how strong it is or how powerful it is.
Oh, okay.
So
there's different. Is it because they're tired and used, or they've been out there long, or does Pokemon Incorporated just assign different values?
Yeah, it just assigns different. It's just like Dungeons and Dragons. I don't know if you remember the dice that you would roll for the characters to give them charisma, strength. Do you remember? Do you have any of this nerdiness in?
I never did Dungeons and Dragons. It kind of creeped me out.
I did it like 3 times, and then never again. Never again.
Uh-huh. It was somebody invited me to play, and it just seemed kind of creepy.
Well, it's the same with Pokemon Go. It's something I do, but I don't. When you get into groups of people, I always feel, you know what I mean. I'm looking in the mirror, and I'm like, I'm like that. I'm not like
It's
that.
One of those things. It's one of those things that's very delightful to do when you're all alone.
Exactly. Which is also something that usually we don't talk about. And it's shameful.
Like listening to this podcast,
yes.
Which unfortunately is, or maybe mercifully, is drawing to a close. All the episodes available on iTunes, timslagle.com. Hey, if you're listening, leave us a comment. Give us a rating. That's how you move us up in the rankings. And if you want to get a hold of Bent,
BentWashburn.com or Bent Washburn on Facebook, BENGT Washburn.
And barring a Pokemon or a competent terrorist,
yeah.
We'll see you next week.